In John chapter 15, notice what Jesus Christ is writing here. He's writing to a church. He's writing to His followers, who they themselves are being initiated into being followers of Christ during a time that Christians were not looked on in a favorable way, and that's saying it incredibly mildly. Notice what he says, verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I want to be very clear about something. Perhaps this may sound strange to you. But as we go into a society now that is increasingly becoming more antagonistic to the followers of Jesus Christ, and I'll just be very blunt with you on a Sunday evening, I'm amazed that over the past 9 years, as a result of everything that has happened since September 11th, 2001, that in our society we've become more open to the religion of Islam and less so to the belief system of Christianity. That's a very strange situation to me. But is it really? You have to understand that everything that's happening in our days and times are related to us in the Word of God. Nothing takes God by surprise. In fact, He told us to be watching for these sort of things. Things that seem illogical. Things that seem out of place. He says, I'm helping you to understand that these are going to happen. In fact, they must happen to prepare for my second coming. First, the rapture of the church. Some look at that and they say, well, Pastor Boy, I love the good old USA, and I do as well. And I praise God that I was born in, I believe, the greatest country, not just on earth at this time, but on earth of any time. And I praise the Lord for that. But I will say this to you, things are being reformulated in our society to where followers of Jesus Christ are not just becoming one of many, but followers of Jesus Christ, I believe, are being pinpointed. I believe they're being singled out. Things are said about Christianity. You know, I'm always amazed. And I watch these guys, particularly these pundits, who consider sarcasm and to be on the cutting edge, shock value, to be their thing. And this is what I'm always amazed by. They act all tough. And boy, they act like they're willing to take on the world. What always amazed me is that they're always willing to take on Christians. Isn't that amazing? And then if anybody says anything, they look at them and say, well, yeah, but you're a Christian. You ought to be loving and forgiving. How dare you react in such an angry way? They always pick on the Christians. You know what my thought is? If you were so tough, why don't you pick on somebody that'd blow you up? See, you're not so tough. You're picking on those who you know are bound to turn the other cheek. We're bound to be those that will pray to the Heavenly Father for the salvation of your soul. That's who you're willing to pick on. So you become easy targets. Satan is orchestrating all this. He's working all this into play. I want to be very honest with you. To me, quite frankly, in many cases, though I don't wish this on my children, I don't want the country they grow up in to be different than what I found and the freedoms I had, but I'm going to say this. I think it's an exciting prospect for the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, how can it be an exciting prospect for the church to come under persecution? How can it be an exciting prospect for the church not to have the same freedoms that it's had before? Because I believe when the church comes under persecution that certain things will take place in the church that have not happened for several hundred years in this country. And as a result, the church has become anemic. As a result, the church has become deluded. It's become a church without passion. It's become a church that's unauthentic, if you will, according to the New Testament. It's a church that's very weak. As a result of that, very ineffectual. And the world around it. So to me, as far as the church is concerned, and I want to encourage you in this way, you're going to have a decision to make. And you have to determine that decision before you come into that place. That you have determined, as Paul did, that you would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see it in little small ways. I watch Christians now in the workplace that are willing to sacrifice their witness for Jesus Christ in order for political or a social position. They don't dare come to a place of offending others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, rather offending them in an even more eternal way by not sharing with them Jesus Christ for their own reputation in the world around them. So you're going to have a decision to make. You have to come to that place of deciding, who am I going to stand for when all the chips are down in our society? I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments about the opportunities that we have in confronting a world around us. As the world gets more evil, as the world grows farther away, and I'm speaking specifically of our culture here in the United States, I think that we as a church have even greater opportunities than we've ever had before. As you look throughout the history of Christianity, you'll find that the times that they were most effective, the times that they had the greatest moments of awakening in the church itself, were the times that were darkest in the culture around them, because there was such a stark difference between the followers of Jesus Christ and those who are around them who are considered of a pagan belief systems. So tonight, I want you to understand, when we walk away from this, I'm not preaching to you that we walk out of here being victims. I can't stand victims. Victims, quite honestly, they cause me to be turned off in a great way. I don't like victims. God has caused us to be called to a place that we never have to be victims anymore. We can be more than overcomers and conquerors and victors through Jesus Christ. But I do want you to understand that now we've come to a place when we walk out of here tonight that the opportunities that we have to serve Jesus Christ are even more available to us than they've ever been before. So I'd like to give you five things when we finish tonight. Number one, in confronting a world that's turning increasingly evil around us, that's becoming more distant to Jesus Christ, and even not just more antagonistic, but more ignorant of those things of Jesus Christ. Once something was integrated in our culture, we did the things, as Brother Stan was talking about. Those things were introduced 70 and 80 years ago on our university campuses. They're not allowed to do that anymore. Well, there's certain opportunities now that are available to us. Number one is this. In confronting an increasingly evil world around us, understand, number one, that in a darker world, our lights brighten. Take your Bibles and turn now to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Jesus Christ speaks of us being the light of the world. He says this, Matthew 5 verse 14, ye, speaking to the followers of Christ, you and me, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Stop here for just a moment. Let's put all this in context. In context, the United States of America is not the city that is set on a hill. The city that is set on a hill, from the words of Jesus Christ, is not any particular national, it's not any nation, it's not any people group. Let me tell you what a city that's set on a hill is. It is the church of the living God. That is the city that is set on a hill. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You're the light of the world. Notice verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If right now I were to take a candle out and I were to light this small candle and I took the lighter and I lit that candle and I held it out. As I held that candle, quite frankly, there would hardly be any light that would be put out into this room from that candle. Would you agree? And there's a reason for that. Because the candle power of that light is not sufficient to make itself give any benefit in a room that has so much light in it already. So really, that candle, that lighted candle, doesn't do any good in a room that's lit up such as this one is. However, it is amazing if we turned off all the lights in this room, all the lights outside this room in the hallway, and then you take that one lone candle and you light it, that one lone candle over just a few seconds of time will be able to cause this entire room to be able to see all the different faces in it. From that one lone candle. In a bright room, that candle makes no difference. However, listen to me, in a very dark room, just one small candle has a great effect. Now listen, that's exactly how it's becoming increasingly in our culture. The darker that our culture becomes, the more important your one lone light shining for Christ is. This is not a time to be more timid for the cause of Christ. This is not a time to exaggerate our insignificance or our smallness in Jesus Christ. Now, as an individual Christian, this is the greatest opportunity that you and I have had in quite some time. That one small candle of light can shine in a wonderful way. Now, think about this. On a Sunday night, you look at this large group in a Sunday night auditorium. In a day and age when Sunday night services are shutting down, I praise God we're in a church where our Sunday night service is increasing. Do you know what that's going to do over time? Let me tell you how that'll affect over time. Over time, the more distant our culture becomes, and in North Alabama, that's true. The more distant our culture becomes from Jesus Christ, the brighter the light will shine from this location through Christians such as we are taking the time to come to a Sunday night service. One person made this quote, "You will never know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." That's a message we must share with the world around us. In confronting an evil world, it's becoming increasingly more so our lights brighten. Number two, in confronting an evil world, it's becoming more so each and every day, our hope becomes even more obvious. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look, if you will, at verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter writes these words, "But sanctify," in other words, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, "and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let me tell you where we've come to in our culture. When I go to restaurants and I sit down to eat, many times, if not most times, before we begin to eat at a restaurant, whoever the waitress is that'll come in service, I'll say something this way. And I got this from Rich Tozer. He introduced that right here in this pulpit. He told me, and that's what I caught the thought from that. When he preached, he was talking about that when you'd go into a restaurant, he would say before it came time for them to eat, the person would bring the food. He would look at the waitress and say, or waiter, say, "Listen, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And every time that we eat, before we eat, we ask the blessing. We give thanks for the food that's put in front of us. And while we're praying, is there anything specifically that I could pray for you about?" Now, when he first said that, I'll be very honest with you, to my shame, I said, "Wow." But he didn't get a lot of response from that. Well, I took it on as a challenge. After the service, we were talking, and he said, "Shane, boy, I'm telling you, it's incredible what happens." I took it as a challenge to do it. Did you know? Listen to me. This is the truth. Without fail, every single time, and it has been scores of times now, every single time that I have done that at a restaurant, without fail, two things happen. That waiter or waitress looks at me. First, she looks at me as if I've just crawled off a foreign planet. And she goes, "What? Well, we're about to pray." No, I heard you. "You're going to pray before the meal and you're asking me what you can pray for me about?" "Yes." And immediately you see in their question, a revelation has come to them. You know what it is? Do you not think that it strikes them that you're coming out of your comfort zone to ask that question? Do you not think that it strikes them that they could react in any manner to that kind of question? They know that you have stepped out to do that. And when you ask that question, immediately a revelation comes over to them. That person has stepped out of their comfort zone to show love and care about my life. It is unbelievable the response you get from that. So when they say, "You're asking to pray for me?" "Yes." There's been now four times, every single time that I've asked them, they'll share something. "Yes, could you pray for this situation? Could you pray for this child? Could you pray for my marriage? Could you pray?" Generally has to do with something, family, home, or job. "Could you pray for this situation, my job situation?" Four different times we've had a waitress that simply just breaks down. And they say, "No one has ever asked that of me before." And they'll share with you. One was here this morning by the name of Tisha. As a world becomes increasingly evil, I want you to understand something. Our hope becomes more obvious to the world around us. The difference of Christianity. It is not a religion. It is a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not something that's dead and ritualistic, and I pray that we never get to that place in our church. It is something that is vibrant. It is something that is living and breathing that we have. He's my God, yes, but He's also my Heavenly Father. And as the world becomes increasingly more evil, our hope in Jesus Christ becomes more stark to the world around us. And we ought to be able to answer any man. I'm telling you, particularly those of us who are younger in here, the longer this thing goes on and the more hopeless man becomes, the more despairing he becomes, the more clearly Jesus Christ can be seen. Number three, in an increasingly evil world, our light brightens, our hope becomes obvious. Thirdly, our opportunities become limitless. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it was a very dark world now in the book of Acts. In Acts 2 and verse 41, I want you to listen to what is written here in this passage of Scripture. The Scripture reads, Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look down at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you know what happens in a world that is increasingly more evil, that is more antagonistic to Jesus Christ? And quite frankly, that's the reason that we ought to be praying that God will cause the United States to turn back to Him. Did you know, as it becomes increasingly more hostile to Christianity, you know what's incredible about the human nature? The more appealing Christianity becomes. You don't believe me? Go to the nation of China today. Did you know the fastest church, the fastest growing church as far as people groups are concerned, do you know where it is? The place where they're receiving the greatest persecution now. People are being slaughtered. In Muslim countries, the church is exploding in growth. You know why? Because they finally ran into a God of love rather than a God of anger and vengeance. It's something incredible to them. A woman is seen as an object of value instead of a semi-slave. God places value on every human being because every human being was died for by His Son. In an increasingly evil world, our opportunities become greater and greater. Listen, young people, you may say, well, boy, it's tougher and tougher to serve Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, in this world as it becomes more evil, your opportunities to reach more and more people for Jesus Christ become even greater. Because the difference is so much more obvious. People aren't able to play games with Christianity anymore. It's real. And people are looking for something that is real. And that's what you and I have. Number four. In an increasingly evil world, our lights brighten. Our hope becomes obvious. Our opportunities become limitless. Fourthly, our Christ becomes more authentic to us. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3, please, and look at verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. In an increasingly evil world, Jesus Christ stands out even more clearly. In an increasingly evil world, Jesus Christ will become more authentic. Not to the world, but to believers. He'll become more real. Let me tell you something. In an increasingly evil world, it will become even more endearing to you to be able to take the Word of God and read it for yourself. Bibles will no longer be stacked up gathering dust on a coffee table. Highways and hedges will be something that we have to do in a clandestine fashion, in a secretive way. It's something that we're going to find being ruled out. He even said it. He goes, once a certain group, and he named the group. He goes, once they find out what's going on down here, it's only going to take one voice by this particular legal group. And once they get a hold of it, they're going to shut down prayer ever taking place. He goes, so Pastor, lift up Jesus Christ. That soon will be out the window. And let me tell you, when that happens, in North Alabama culture, when it's no longer popular to be a Christian, you're going to find Christians becoming more authentic in their faith. It's going to be a division. It's going to be a dividing of the sheep from the goats. That's an exciting time for the church. That's when revival is starting to take place in the church. Which leads me to number five. In an increasingly evil world, our light brightens. Our hope becomes more obvious. Our opportunities become limitless. Our Christ becomes more authentic. Number five, our faith becomes more genuine. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and we'll be finished tonight. Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 13. If we would, let's step back. And Jesus Christ now is talking about the kingdom times. He's speaking prophetically now. And look, if you will, beginning at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against the nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. That's interesting, isn't it? And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Can I tell you what verse 12 is speaking of? It's not speaking of just unbelievers, it's speaking of believers. During that point in time, those professed Christians, because the pleasures of the world abound and it's tough to serve Jesus Christ, the faith, the love of many for God will wax cold in those days. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. What's he speaking of here? A true believer in Jesus Christ, in dark days, his faith is shown to be genuine. When it's no longer popular to serve him. How much we need in a world around us genuine, sold out believers in Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, that's me. Is it really? Is it really you? Well, yeah, it's me. Look, I'm sitting here on a Sunday night. There can be many different reasons why we sit in a church service on Sunday night. He's not talking about how you're behaving here in a church service. He's asking how you're going to behave tomorrow morning at the workplace. See? And I'm speaking to myself here. He's asking when you're standing at the counter and in your pocket you have a stack of tracks, if you have tracks at all in your pocket. When you go up to that counter at the store and you have the opportunity to share the gospel with just a little track, well, Pastor, I don't think that's effective. Well, then do it your way, but be effective. I often find people that give that argument are not sharing the gospel very much at all in their way either. So you take out a check and say, listen, when you have an opportunity, would you get a chance to read this? It'll show you what Jesus Christ can do for you. I don't do that. In fact, Pastor, quite frankly, I cannot tell you the last time that I told somebody about Jesus Christ at the workplace. I don't even remember that. And some of us will come to the place now of saying, boy, I got awfully quiet here. And some of us will come to the place of saying, well, I don't think that's really the place for it. Really? That's not the place for it. Well, what is the place that God has placed you across their path? You tell me. Well, that's not the place for it, because if that's the place for it, then quite honestly, some things could happen. What could happen? You and I know what you're saying. Because at the same time you say, well, Pastor, I get up in the choir and sing, and I sing specials, and perhaps I even teach a Sunday school class. Hey, listen, quite frankly, all of that is easy. That's easy in front of a saved world. When you proclaim Jesus Christ that He's the only way of salvation, you've got 300 plus people in here tonight who are shouting amen. They don't do that when you walk outside these walls. It takes nothing to stand for Jesus Christ here. We need some real men of God. I am weary of those who play politics with Jesus Christ. I see it day in and day out. We raise up Jesus Christ when it's popular, when it's politically correct, and then all of a sudden, in our language, Jesus Christ is difficult to be found in the public forum from our lips because it's not expedient to do so for us. Can I tell you what will happen in an increasingly evil world? Initially, perhaps our churches will get smaller. Perhaps our buildings will not be so ornate. You don't find great cathedrals of the true church in the nation of China or Muslim world. But I can tell you this, you find hosts, multiplying hosts of true, genuine believers. that their temples are not made with brick and mortar, but their bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. True believer. I'm not wishing it on the United States of America. But I will have to tell you something. Something inside me burns with excitement to know that God can use such times to purify His bride. You've got to understand that when His bride is presented to Him, He wants it to be without spot, without wrinkle, to be spotless. Quite frankly, the church in the United States of America needs to experience some purification. We need to quit playing games. We're more concerned with our style of music than we are with our genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Who ever heard of such a thing in the nation of China having worship wars going on? We argue over the most inane, most ineffectual issues. I dare say in the nation of China or in such nations in the 1040 window, they don't have the little parsing political doctrinal debates that we have going over here. They don't have eggheads sitting in a classroom debating over how many angels can fit on the head of a pin hour upon hour upon hour every day. Because for them to say, I believe at the very base level that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, that very possibly could cost them their life. And yet the church there explodes. Not with political games, not with power trips, but with genuine faith. That's exciting. So, where does that leave me now, preacher? Well, then let me ask you a question. How bright is your light shining now? How obvious is your hope today? How many opportunities are you using right now? Is your Christ authentic to you? Do you have genuine faith? Do you truly know Him? It's a wonderful world in which we live. Now, Lord, use me. As it gets darker, Lord, use me to be a city that's set on a hill. I don't want to be hid, Lord. Use me to reach a dark world for Christ. May that be the heart's cry of God's people tonight.